I don't know, there was so much to preach on this morning. I might have to get off track. We'll see what happens. Isaiah calls out and responds to God and declares God's promises to the people. Have hope. God will comfort you. He will hold you in his arms like a lamb. Good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. So I've read this passage quite a few times, but for some reason it took on a little different tone as I read it this time. It's the way Mark begins his gospel, and indeed, his beginning is very straightforward. Does it sound familiar? In the beginning? It should. This is the way that Mark begins his gospel. Straightforward, factual, and also exciting. And that's the part I've kind of missed. Not that I didn't find it promising or good or anything, but when I read it this time, it was exciting. And even more than exciting. I was like ready to go do something really, really wonderful. Of course, I didn't know what it was, but I'm sure God will show me. As I read these words, I could hardly contain myself, just as I think Mark could hardly contain himself. And I started thinking about all the things that I think about doing for God, and all of the things that I've failed to do for God, and all of the hope of the things that I want to do for God. And I was energized. Now I have to take that energy and put it in the right place. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The journey. That's what it's all about, folks. Sometimes we're not sure, I'm not sure exactly where the journey is taking us. And sometimes we know exactly which way to turn so that we are on the right journey as we embark as disciples, filled with waiting, filled with wondering, and filled with unknowing. Waiting and wondering can be difficult, but not knowing seems downright impossible for me to accept. I want to know. So if you just take a second and reflect on last week's lesson, it reminded us that we don't have any idea. We don't know when Jesus will come. All we have to do is be ready. Now, preparation for Jesus coming doesn't mean buying cases of bottled water and storing them in the basement next to the freeze-dried food. Does not mean that kind of get ready. We don't have to hoard things. We have to be ready in our hearts and our souls and our minds. And what is going to help us get ready? That's the question. The preparation comes through the action of our discipleship, the action on the journey. The other thing that today's gospel brought up for me was a reminder of my own baptismal vows. Those words helped to lead me through all kinds of difficult times of wondering and waiting, and they remind me what the journey is all about. The journey which our map is drawn by these promises of our baptism. So in your bulletin, you have a copy of the baptismal covenant. I just want to talk about it for a minute. This is the center of who we are as a church. This is the center of who we are as disciples. And the very first thing that is asked is, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and your commitment to Jesus Christ? Wow, that's huge. We can't be committed to Jesus, to Christ, if we don't renounce and fight against evil. And then we have the parts of the creed. Do you believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? I was at with some people, and someone in the group said, well, I don't believe in the things in the creed. I said, okay. And then they said, well, do you? And I'm like, well, yeah. And I said, at my baptism, somebody made the promises for me. But at my confirmation, I made them for myself. And at my ordination, I made them for God. Then after the creed and the things that we believe, the question is asked, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, in the prayers? Will you persevere, again, resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you be the person to someone, the Jesus to someone that you want someone to be the Jesus to you, the way you want someone to be the Jesus to you? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? That's huge right now. I keep saying it's huge because it is. With all that's going on in the world, and it's so easy to say, well, these are the bad people and these are the good people, and, you know, the good's going to win. But it's not going to win with guns. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes we don't have to go to war, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have guns. What I'm saying is that we should have peace and love first and think about kindness first and not resort to actions of evil first. Not that any of you all would. Then the prayer at the end is, may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So wait. We have to wait. And so much of Jesus coming, at least in my thought, the way I interpret it in the sort of the public domain, is that Jesus' coming is going to be kind of this really horrible thing. It's going to be fire and brimstone, and he's going to judge people and the sheep and the goats. And when we do that, we overlook all the promises that are in the Bible, in the Gospels, that are so much greater than that writing. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen when Jesus comes. But I do know that he will bring his righteousness and his truth to all people. So then I'm going to go back for a second. Last week I talked a little bit about a rule of life. What is a rule of life? It's a way that you kind of dedicate yourself to a relationship with God on a regular basis. So I'm going to invite you to take some time, and this is just for you. It's not to share. It's not for the notebook. It's just for you. This is your Advent homework. Plan some time where you can spend with God. Go somewhere where there are no distractions. Have resources available to you. Maybe you like certain poems or inspirational books. Or you might look up some of the other rules of prayer that people have developed over the years. There's many of them. Then pray. And then write out your plan. And put it somewhere conspicuous where you can't forget to do it. I know I told you all in the Credo retreat that I went on, one of the things that we did was to renew and write a rule of life for where we were now. And the two things, I won't bore you with all the things I think I'm going to do, but the two things that I wrote in my rule of life that I do, very rarely do I miss, is to wake up in the morning, say good morning to God, and offer myself, my time, and dedicate the day to God. And then at night, to thank God for getting me through the day and pray to Him for the possibility of tomorrow. That's not guaranteed either. That's up to God, but I still think it's important to ask. The rule of life doesn't have to be complicated. If you were to think about John the Baptizer and what his rule of life might have been, it would have been to go out into the wilderness, declare the good news, preach the gospel, baptize, and love all that came to him, and teach people about forgiveness. It's pretty simple. So I invite you now, as we continue in Advent, to wait. Wait for the coming of Jesus. Wait for a new way. Wait for the world to embrace the kindness, the love, and the hope, and the peace that God promises us. And the world will only know that, will only find that through us. Amen. So now, I invite you to stand and let